Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, AfterBuzz TV, it's Lauren LaGrasso here, and I am sitting beside an incredible singer-songwriter. His name is RJ Word, and he's going to tell us all about how he's become a viral singing sensation. He's worked with Pitbull, he's killing the game, and you're going to hear all about it. Let's talk.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, perfection, RJ.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Well, as I said, I'm sitting here with the lovely RJ Word. We have been getting to know each other for the past 45 minutes. I can say he's as great of a person as he is a singer-songwriter. And I'm really excited for you to get to know him.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And
on this lovely Sunday afternoon.
It is a lovely Sunday. Loving that LA is getting a little bit cooler weather now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked jacket weather.
Me too.
You know, it's good for thinner guys such as myself to have as many layers as possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You've got some muscles though.
I've been working on it.
You were flexing.
Yeah.
You're succeeding.
It is.
What's your top gym tip?
Pull-ups without thumbs.
What does that mean?
Like pull-ups,
uh-huh.
But no thumbs. Like just use,
Like it would hurt my delicate phalanges.
Yeah, it's it works the back more than just the arms.
Oh
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't even do one pull-up, so I will try to get my thumbs in there first, and then try the thumbless pull-up.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Great. See, we're learning so much already. So I want to learn a little bit more about your background.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up in LA.
Yeah.
How did being in the thick of the industry from basically birth influence your career path?
I've wanted to be on the entertainment side of things for almost as long as I can remember. When I was really little, I had a couple phases of just like wanting to go into science, maybe like marine biology type stuff. Just because like. Always fascinated me.
Yeah.
A whole other world under
the ocean.
He swam
with the dolphins once.
No, I did not, but it's on the bucket list. Just doing school shows and stuff. I was the kid who did like the solos and whatnot, mm-hmm. and that was always fun. And just always having such a creative community around me was definitely an inspirational thing.
And did your parents, were they in the industry at all?
How did they support you on the other side of it?
Okay, so they're producers?
My dad he's semi-retired now, but on the producing side. And then my mom's on some other management type stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's all entertainment related, but not really on the creative side of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you came up to them as little RJ and I was like, I want to sing.
So much support.
They were supportive
right off
the bat.
They were always very supportive. Yeah.
How did they guide you?
A lot of it was just kind of letting me do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing me to people when I was younger obviously was definitely a beneficial path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just finding the right people to work with and whatnot. Really kind of not getting in the way of the creative forces of things. Just
right.
Just kind of letting me do my stuff.
Which is huge because I feel like there's so many parents out there in the industry and not in the industry that discourage their kids from going in that direction.
Yeah,
And it's like, you're going to get so many doors slammed in your face, but the first one shouldn't be at home.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, I was also really thankful that they weren't like... pressuring me to go to college,
mm-hmm.
or because I knew what I wanted to do already, like by the time I went into high school,
right.
So I was already focusing a lot on this, and I missed a fair amount of my senior year because I was already working with people, still graduated and whatnot, but seeing some friends who've gone off to college, gotten themselves, you know, a couple hundred grand into debt.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, like, 4 years later, starting on something that I've had a head start on, and I'm not, like, worried about paying off this chunk. It's so beneficial that they you know, weren't, you know, pushing that so hardcore.
Right.
And I think, you know, more parents should be, like, realistic with their kids' goals.
Right.
In that sense.
And what would you say to a kid who is 18, like, they know what they want to do, whether mm-hmm. it's entertainment or something else, but they're feeling that pressure to apply and go to school? Like, how do they get over the societal influence?
I mean, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it is, like, you should work hard and get good grades in high school and, you know, be able to do those things. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not saying, like, throw other options away, but in such a kind of image and youth-based industry, it's probably, at least in my situation, it made more sense for me to just go right into it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you did some musical theater, you were saying, when mm-hmm. you were younger.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know how that influenced your path and, like, if any aspects of that theater are now in your current act.
Yeah, I mean, work ethic was definitely the biggest thing that it influenced for me. Just kind of having to do shows over and over, and you know, like, I was a part of a youth theater company when I was younger, and like, we also had to, like, clean the theater and
right.
do it, you know, it's just like everyone does their part. So it was a very yeah, help build character and whatnot, but also, you know, learning lines, getting things ready for a show date. You can't spend a year on every little thing. Otherwise, nothing is ever going to come out. So having, you know, the show, opening night is set when rehearsals begin. You know, like, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a ticking bomb.
Exactly. So, you know, working towards goals like that. And but I eventually I got kind of, because I was doing a couple shows a year, and mm-hmm. I got a little tired of just singing other people's songs and wanted to do my own.
What age was this?
I started doing it when I was like 9 or 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
You started writing your own songs at that age?
Not writing my own songs. I started doing, like, musical theater stuff around then. I started writing my own music at like 14-ish.
Wow.
Yeah.
And at that point, did you play any instruments, or was it just off the top of your head?
I had taken piano lessons when I was younger. I had forgotten a lot of it, but it had been enough for me to, you know, remember how chord progressions work mm-hmm. and, like, kind of play around with the piano a bit. And it was useful for, like, starting stuff, and I still use those skills today.
Yeah. Right. I feel like the biggest mistake most piano teachers make is just trying to sit kids down and make them learn songs they don't want to learn. Like, yeah. If you could just teach a kid chords, because mm-hmm. it's so simple.
Yeah, I mean, learning just, like, more chords and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, to me, I thought there was something. I've always had, like, a competitive nature mm-hmm. about me, and I had a couple other friends, and it was like, who can learn for Elise first, you know, type thing.
Was that one of the songs, like, in the booklet? Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, you know, just kind of learning to play some more complex classical pieces, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, the competitive nature drove mm. those urges.
Oh, I'm glad it worked for you.
Yeah.
Didn't work for me. I learned years later, I'm like, I can't believe I spent so many years learning stuff that was this simple, and they could have just told me.
Oh, I mean, a lot of, I still remember, like, a couple beginner book pieces, right. and it's like, God, this part of my brain that remembers this,
right.
it's always going to remember this.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be able to use this for something. that space, it could be allocated better.
Right. But it could be the foundation, is what you're saying, for things that you
totally.
Do now.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I get
yeah.
it. I get
yeah.
it. Okay, so you're 13, 14 when you start writing music. Mm-hmm. And how does this start to develop? How do you start to bring this music out into the world?
Well, I was I was in high school at the time. Freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. I kind of focused on school for a bit there. Got into filmmaking a little bit when I was at high school. which has come in handy for, like, producing music videos and stuff.
Definitely.
As well. But somewhere around, I think it was, like, 16, I did a Christmas video with Kurt Hugo Schneider on YouTube. Like, one of those one-shot things. And I hadn't had any social media before that. Like, I didn't even have, like, a personal Facebook or anything for friends to contact me, because I figured if I wanted to talk to someone, I could give them my number.
Well, you're pretty mature in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was never that into it.
Right.
The whole, like, posting your life on online type thing when I was younger. Like, now I have something to say and you know, stuff to show. And
right.
I think it's a more, I can create a more interesting world for the fans.
Well, you've got a brand now, as opposed to when you were 16, you recognized that you were a 16-year-old doing 16-year-old things.
Exactly.
But once you started putting music out, it makes sense that you felt more comfortable with it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, so I made some social media stuff, you know, started working with some other artists around LA. My sound shifted a little bit. I didn't release a record until I was 18. That was, like, my record that I had started working on with a couple friends when I was 17. But we did the whole thing ourselves. You know, it was
you
just,
even
like,
produced it yourself?
It was me and two friends.
Wow,
made the whole
that's
record.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did you in GarageBand, or how did you learn the skills
Ableton,
you needed?
Wow. One of my best friends who still works on all my records with me is, he originally was DJing in France, and then he interned with an engineer I knew out here, and we became friends at that point, and he produces on a lot of my records now, and he's, like, 2 years older than me, so we were just, like, working on stuff back then. Then a couple, like, another friend or two. You know, it's just, like, we've always had, like, work-based friendships, kind of.
Right.
Both of us are definite workaholics, so it's very beneficial to be able to kind of do both.
Right. And it sounds like the competitive nature that you've shown from the time you were a kid is still coming into play, because you're both going back and forth, and you're competitive with yourself.
Yeah, I'm competitive with myself. In that case, you know, it's a collaborative, fun process to sit down and just, like, kind of make stuff. You know, like, let's write songs on an airplane type thing. You know, like, oh, we've got 5 hours before we get to New York. Can we finish a song?
Which is actually,
you know,
not a lot of people, maybe a lot of people do know this, but I find the airplane is one of the best places to write. Like, I constantly am going into the bathroom and, like, singing into my phone and then going back to the seat.
Yeah.
What's your process like when you're on a plane?
You know, if you have, you know, if you have, like, a laptop and stuff, you can work on a beat to a degree. If you've got, like, the right samples and stuff. Then, you know, I loop stuff. I listen to stuff on loops until kind of a top line arises. Usually for verses, I'll write lyrics and melody at the same time. But for choruses, I'll write the melody first and then, like, find the lyric that suits that.
Yeah. Do you ever have an idea come up and then you write a whole song around that idea?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, What You Need started with a title. So, but it wasn't What You Need. It was I Can't Help Myself was, like, the concept. And it was like, okay, how do we build a song around I Can't Help Myself? And then What You Need was just a better title.
It is. It's, like, a great title. We're going to get to that in a little bit, because you have a really cool video for that I want to discuss. But I want to talk a little bit about how you built your fan base, because you have an incredible fan base. I mean, over 1 million people on Instagram. What's your YouTube at?
I'm not sure right
now. I mean,
now.
You've got, like, 8 million or more views on your What You Need video, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable, especially in a market that's as saturated as it is.
It is, yeah.
How, I know you've said it's kind of organic, but how did you go about building that?
You know, I got really lucky. I think when people like a song, they like a song. And, you know, I think all it takes is, like, one person at, like, one school to really like it and share it with all of their friends.
Right.
Who shares it with all their friends and then gets to another school, gets to another town. Because that was, like, the beginnings of my fan bases were all, like, kind of middle and high school ages.
Okay.
And, like, as I've grown up a bit, it's grown up a bit and, like, branched out and stuff. And now it's, like, wow, there's, you know, 6-year-olds jamming out to RJ Word records.
So cute.
Yeah. Which is awesome. I love it. You know, it's like, I think, yeah, music should have no limits in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I did that, with, kind of the first video I released was, Here Today. And yeah, that was the record I had been working on back in, back in high school. And yeah, it did well in like Romania and a little bit in Mexico. And, then people were just kind of like looking at the stuff on Instagram and Facebook. And, there was just demand for me to go down to Mexico. So I went down and did some shows down there, music festivals, stuff like that. And yeah, kind of, you know, I wasn't too well known down there, and then I was there for like a month, I came back for a week, went back down, and there were people like hanging out at the airport, waiting in the lobby of my hotel.
Wow.
And it was like, whoa, what happened? yeah, it's just awesome. Anyone who digs the music or you know, likes me, it's cool. I'm happy to make stuff.
Well, yeah, of course. And it's just beautiful that it's being received as it is. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was most interested about was when I read on your website, in your bio, that you have a large Latin following. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, what do you think it is about you that entrances those audiences so much? Like, because I know you're not Latino yourself, but there's something obviously that you're doing that drives them.
You know, I've never been too sure. I've always like, I've really appreciated the enthusiasm of the fan base, because
right.
They're like, they're really into it.
I mean, yeah, if you look at your comments section, mm-hmm. they're more than half Spanish.
Yeah, I mean, it's I've been getting a lot in Arabic as well lately.
Oh, okay.
Which has been interesting.
International Sally over here. I love it.
but yeah, you know, it's I don't know. I did, after going down to Mexico, I did a I knew I wanted to kind of like to win over the audiences down there for live
right.
shows. I worked with an artist down there to translate one of my verses into Spanish.
Oh, cool.
Which I then learned phonetically and just like rehearsed until it sounded natural.
Mm.
And yeah, that kind of like blew up. And I think that really kind of spread to other countries, Spanish speaking countries, and kind of helped.
Right. I think it's great, though, because you took a piece of information and something that you saw that worked and decided to cater to that audience,
mm-hmm.
which is what any smart musician or business person would do. And it's just, it's a good example for mm-hmm. anyone. Like, if something is working in your career or your life, try to figure out why and then do more for
Don't
that group
it.
It's serving.
Yeah, totally.
So many people try to fight it. Why do you think that is?
I don't know, insecurities.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or, like, hard-headedness, like, that they think they should be a certain thing.
Yeah, that they need to be, like, breaking through in a certain market. Or,
right.
You know, it's like, honestly, at the end of the day, the reason I'm in this industry is because I like making music and just kind of creating stuff in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome that people want to, like, buy into that and support me so I can, like, only do that as my primary focus in life.
Right.
I think people with kind of the wrong motivations getting into this industry of like just wanting to do stuff for fame or recognition or
right.
you know, some of the perks that come along with it, they're the people who end up fighting
mm-hmm.
The natural flow of things.
Right. If you just want to create, you mm-hmm. will likely have success
yeah.
at some point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It
yeah,
takes
yeah.
a minute to figure it out,
totally.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's what makes me happy, so.
Right.
I'm going to lead a happy life and not fight what's working if I'm enjoying doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And speaking of your large Latin following, you made a great song that catered to them. It was a Latin pop single, mm-hmm. and it was called...
Echa Paca.
Yes. I was going to say it, but you know.
I beat you to it, obviously.
You beat me to it. You're so quick. And it had Pitbull on it, Rich the Kid, and Juan Magan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how that came to be. And also, I want to talk about the video because it was really cool.
Juan and I had been working with a couple of the same people, just kind of like behind the scenes people, industry mm-hmm. folks, and they had connected us. We followed each other and stuff, and I knew he was doing a show for Latin Billboard out in Vegas, so I flew out there to see it, and mm-hmm. he and I got to talking, and we knew we'd wanted to work on something together. He already had a verse from Pitbull, and I was like, cool, I'll hop on this, let's make something interesting. He knew he wanted like another American rapper on it. Mm-hmm. Rich the Kid filled that spot perfectly. And it was just like, it was very organic and kind of all came together in a nice way.
So when you quote unquote hopped on it, are you going into your own studio and recording it, or are you going and working with Juan? That's how we say his name, right? Yeah.
So for this one, we did, there's a version, they'll probably drop at some point, where I have an English verse on it as well as the Spanish part. And I recorded that back in LA.
Mm-hmm. And then you just send it over and then they mix it in.
He lives for the most part in the Dominican Republic, so he's got his whole studio thing out there. And I mean, that's one of my favorite things about the whole kind of internet connecting everyone from a music standpoint, is like everyone's capability of just recording wherever they are, and these crazy collaborations that never would have been able to happen before because you would have had to like ship tape places,
right?
And you know, then it wouldn't line up properly or whatnot. It's like, it's such a crazy thing. I have no clue where Pitbull recorded his verse. He could have been anywhere. I think Rich was in Arizona. And then Juan was in, you know, DR. So I did
have
mine
you all
in LA.
Gotten together to perform it ever?
We haven't yet.
Oh man, no, we got to see that happen. Yeah, anything in the works?
For that, I'm not sure at the moment.
No. Okay.
Video ended up being animated because it worked better for everyone's schedules.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what was it like to see yourself as a cartoon?
I had no clue what was going on. So I get sent this video one day, and it was like, wow. I'm in an anime. This is sick.
Fully. Yeah. And it was honestly pretty lifelike. Yeah. They did a great job for everyone.
Yeah, they I think they were just kind of basing stuff off of like people's social media and stuff. And what really cracked me up was I have in one of my videos kind of like a time traveling theme in it for Here Today.
Okay.
And I have a time traveling stopwatch in it. And you know, just ideas that we come up with. And I think they saw that and they were like, oh, that's his brand. Time traveling pop star.
He loves to time travel. Yeah, that's what we will know him for.
Yeah. And they included it into the animated video. And I was like,
it's amazing.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's almost like you produced it in a way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, contributing to the idea at least. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And speaking of videos, like we talked about, you have a great one for What You Need. So I'm wondering what the process of putting that video was mm-hmm. like, or putting that video together was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the creative process there?
So that was another like good old friend of mine ended up directing this one. He had worked with me in the past on my video for I'm Gone. And, you know, just like a good bud. We wanted to...
And you could put the volume up a little bit, Anthony. We'd love to hear that.
Sorry, it's distracting me at this point. Track. But, you know, I had played him the songs, and he was like, oh, this, like, we should do a video for this. And I was like, yeah, we should do a video for this. And just kind of, like, started spitballing ideas back and forth, coming up with stuff. And, we shot the whole thing in a day.
Wow. There were a lot of scenes.
Yeah, it was a really crazy 12 hours at this kind of weird set in Hawthorne. But it
sometimes
was great.
You gotta go out to the boonies.
So in this little scene here, I don't know if they can see this, but that guy is one of the producers. Right,
okay,
there.
So we're pointing there. There's a guy who's playing like a DJ. Is that what he is in the video? Because people are only audio based.
He passes over a briefcase.
Oh, okay.
To someone else, who is the other producer.
Oh, nice.
On the record. So it's just a nice little cameo
little wink
thing in there. Yeah.
Wink to the fans.
Yeah.
So how? And you said the director was a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Knew him through like mutual friends back in high school. And whatnot, and we just kind of put this whole idea together and concept collaboratively.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Is this song about a specific person?
No, it's about not needing to flex and fake stuff.
Mm.
Kind of, you know, it's like you can have a good time without, stuff. Yeah.
You mean like
material
diamond
things?
Rings
yeah, totally.
Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't gotta say cool things to inspire you. Saying
right.
Fly shit, don't make it true. You know? So,
it's true.
Yeah.
You
and
know what?
There's
and
so much of that in LA.
That's what I was just gonna say. There's so much talk, but really all that matters are people's actions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do what you say you're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And finding quality people is the most important thing in life and in business.
Yeah. People who will follow through.
Yes, for sure. Who has been the person in your career who's followed through for you the most?
That's rough. I'd say I've got someone that I work with on social media stuff who's been very consistent and there with me, and then also my buddy Carell, who produces on stuff, has been there with me since I've wanted to, you know, make cool solo music, you know. Been collaborating since 2013 or 12 or something, because he had actually been scoring my like kind of indie student films that I was making in high school as well.
Nice.
Doing the instrumental stuff for that, and we've both grown a lot since then, but definitely been there.
It's a blessing when you can work with a friend who's also reliable.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's the hugest blessing in the world.
Yeah, reliable and just like even if you do have disagreements, you know, just like respectful and on the same page about things.
Right. Yeah. There's a base level of respect and love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we haven't really talked about Love Hurts yet. Mm-hmm. We need to get into that.
Yeah, sure.
Tell me about it. So this is your newest single. It came out in November.
Yes.
Because we're now in December, which is wild.
What?
I know. How did it happen?
What happened to 2018?
I don't know. It was a flash.
I was at a New Year's party last week.
It was great. There was glitter.
Yeah, it was wild, and everyone was welcoming in the new year.
I don't know. Honestly, this year has been so quick.
Yeah.
Love hurts, but time hurts too sometimes.
Oh.
Goes by fast.
Truth.
So, what's the inspiration behind this?
Funky jam song. To be honest, it is not one specific situation. It's just kind of, I guess, you know, it's like love hurts and I'm not afraid to show it. It's just like, be open. Don't be so worried about how you're perceived and all that. I set out to make another, I actually wrote the first part of this before I wrote What You Need. So it's been a long one in the making.
Yeah.
What
do you think about that? Because I hear some people say, oh, if it doesn't come out right away, then it's nothing. I don't agree with that, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. I'd like kind of fallen in love with these other songs that I was working on, and just kind of pushed forward with those. But, I'd known there was something kind of special about this hook.
Mm-hmm.
And we rewrote a lot of the verses later. And then, you know, brought in live horns and the choir type stuff and more and more production. Cause I like to make songs into movies or as close to them as I possibly can. A lot of parts, a lot of layers. Thematically it's, I like to leave the lyrics up to the fans for how they want to relate to it, you know? How does that make them feel, and how does that song apply to their lives instead of just hearing my take on things?
And what sort of feedback have you gotten?
My initial like, hey, I've got a new single out video was kind of me acting in a very sad and upset way. And I don't know, I'm a troll. I'm just trying to worry people and get them interested.
Well, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. Like we talked about, the internet's saturated. So whatever it takes to work up that algorithm,
totally. So, I mean, a lot of the initial feedback was like, RJ, are you okay? Just like, God, so many DMs. just, what's wrong, RJ? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
Better than ever, yeah, actually. Got a new single.
Got a new single. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Definitely my attitude towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a great campaign to put out. And the thing that I'm really interested by with Love Hurts, because the video, it's still kind of being talked about. We're not sure what's going to happen there yet. But the way you've got it on YouTube right now, there was this interesting thing that happened. Can you describe what's happening in the YouTube when we play it?
Yeah.
In the YouTube?
Sure.
I just said that. That was a small sentence.
It's how the YouTube is referred to. So within the YouTube, when you look closely, you can see I'd wanted the cover to kind of look like me in a broken mirror, and then someone had like written Love Hurts with like lipstick on it, like someone who's mad at me, kind of, but or like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it was a moving image. I just thought it was a cool way to do it, because most artists just put one still image of them up when they first release a song on YouTube. And this image moved up. So I think kind of a nice little tip for anyone out there who is looking to put out music, do something interesting.
We had all the layers of the cover, because it wasn't actually shot in a mirror. We faked that with Photoshop and whatnot. So we were able to kind of recreate that in After Effects with like the separate layers and making the mirror crack. And I figure it's always nice to give some, you know, give the listener a little visual sweetness if they do want to look at the screen for, you know, a couple minutes.
I love this visual sweetness. I'm going to try to incorporate that into all I do from now on. Little visual sweetness. That's nice. And we talked about this a little bit, but if there is a kid sitting at home right now really wanting to get into the music industry, what's your advice for them on how to get started?
Practice, just like insane dedication. Spend as many free hours of your day as you have, working on honing your craft. Learn to play an instrument. It's going to be super useful for songwriting purposes. Just practice. And then networking is so important. You got to meet the right people, otherwise no one's going to hear your music. It's good to be social, and as important as it is to, you know, work on the craft, a really big part of the job in the current market is like sharing that with people. I spend more time on I wish I could spend more time creating, but I spend so much of my time, you know, networking and, you know, showing stuff to people and getting to know people, just because that is the job.
Well, right. And you can have millions of songs. That's great. But you could also have millions of songs sitting in a basement with you somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to do much good if you don't have a platform to put it out.
Totally.
So I think that's smart to be splitting your time.
Yeah. And then also for the people who do have like a pile of songs and it's like, oh, I don't have the right one yet. Because we all know that person. Just put one out and see where it takes you. Like the feedback is more useful than just your brain kind of mulling over this song over and over again, when it's, you know, your first song isn't going to be your masterpiece or your legacy piece typically.
Right.
So it's good to just get stuff out there and start the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who's your dream artist to collaborate with?
I mean, Michael Jackson has passed away.
Aww.
That would have been the ultimate dream.
Maybe you can sing with his hologram.
Thriller turned 36 this week, the album itself. And then I believe today the video turned 35, which is tight, because It is a masterpiece. But, you know, I would love to work with Bruno Mars as far as, like, modern-day artist, because he is absolutely spectacular. As far as producers go, it'd be great to work with Max Martin, because he is, you know, he is Mr. Radio, and he's been killing it for, like, close to the last two decades.
Which is huge, especially in this industry. Mm-hmm. And where do you see your career in 10 years?
I'd love to be in a, you know, a place where, you know, I love creating. So, an elevated version of where I'm at now, you know, where more people get to hear my stuff. And I get to work with, you know, more producers and people in the industry that I respect. That would be, and to share respect with them, you know, to be in a place where I can work with, spectacular Grammy winning producers and artists would be a dream come true.
I think it's going to happen. You got your head on straight. You're talented.
Thank you.
You're a hard worker. You understand the business aspects of it. One last thing before we go. Here you've got some acting skills. How are we going to see these come to play besides in your music videos?
I'm really not sure. You know, if the right role comes along, I'll probably hop in there. But
hey,
until then, music is definitely the focus.
It's your number one baby.
Yeah,
acting's definitely your side baby.
Yeah. Yeah, acting my side baby.
I took the words right out of your mouth,
yeah, exactly,
didn't I?
Definitely what I was going to say. Yeah, but no, I mean, it's I've always just kind of viewed acting as like, or you know, singing as acting, where you just hold the words longer,
mm-hmm.
and they have notes allocated to them.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I studied theater in college, mm-hmm. and when we did musical theater, that's how we did it. We did it as a monologue,
totally.
And then we sang.
Yeah.
So great that you intuitively understand that.
Yeah, I think just like them working together is a, it's how you convey emotion at mm-hmm. the end of the day. It's all about storytelling.
Yeah.
Really. Music is just currently my favorite medium to do that, because I can do that more, you know, myself with the people I've put around me. Whereas with acting, it's like, to do it on the scale that I would want to be working on it, it is, you know, a much bigger production.
Yeah, that's incredibly true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I love about music is you can just go out on the street and play a song.
Yes.
No one has to give you permission.
Yeah. I mean, you can go out and do a monologue in the middle of the street as well. But
you could, but
you'll get less tips.
Yeah, exactly. And people might think you're just a little off kilter, but that's okay. We all are. All of us. In this wild, wild world.
Yeah.
So we can keep up with you on Instagram and Twitter.
At RJ Word.
Okay. At RJ Word.
On Instagram.
Okay.
RJ _ Word on Twitter.
All right. Yeah. And what do we have coming up in the next few months here?
I don't know. Let's just ride this Love Hurts wave for a
minute. Let's ride it. I feel so good to be here surfing the Love Hurts wave. I'm thrilled to talk with you, and I see nothing but great things in your future.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I appreciate that. My pleasure.
Well, it's been mine. And I appreciate you listening. You can find me at Lauren LaGrasso on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And I actually have a live show coming up, if you're around, at Bar Lubitsch on the 18th of December at 9:30 p.m. So check it out, babies.
Cool, cool.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
See you later. Yeah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.